Lord, we have assembled together, and thy word is before us. And Lord, we call unto thee before we look into thy word. We call unto thee to first to thank thee for this day, the morning that thou didst give us, the service that we had, the strengthening and the call to faithfulness and watchfulness. And Lord, this afternoon, as we have assembled together with thy word before us, we pray that thou would also speak to us in this afternoon, that we'd feel thy presence, we'd feel thy nearness, that the power of thy word would go forth, that we all, Lord, in one accord would be transformed into the perfect image of our Savior Jesus Christ. Abide thou with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this afternoon's reading, our meditation, I desire to read from the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter number 6. The brother this morning referenced to this portion of Scripture. I'd like to read it as God gives us direction on how we are to be ready and to watch. So let's begin our reading with verse number 10 from Ephesians chapter 6. Ljubim želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Efesima, 6. glava, početak od 10. broj. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I'd like to skip to the final two verses. Peace be to the brethren, in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with them, with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Dear ones, as we heard the word this morning, and as the brother was expounding on it, you know, oftentimes when we read the word, we think about how does that look when Jesus is calling us to watch, when Jesus is calling us to faithfulness, and like how, what does that look like in our everyday life? What must we do in order to be pleasing to our Lord and to be able to fulfill the promises that we made unto him? And as a brother referenced to this chapter, God gives us the exact way. And it is always, though, a choice that we will make whether we want to obey him, to do what he is asking of us, or we will find and reason with our own humanism and find a way in which we can argue against God literally in feeling that we don't have to quite do things in the manner in which he has described it. And we do that when we rationalize things in our own mind, our mind that must be renewed, transformed. And when we think back to the first sin that had taken place, Satan proposed to Eve that it's not what God had said, that God is trying to withhold something good from her. She saw the fruit, that it was good. She saw it was good to eat, and she wanted it. How many things in our lives, dear ones, do we look at? And we know, if we reason it in our mind, a mind that is renewed, not our own mind, a mind that we see here, that we are to put on the helmet of salvation to protect our mind, that if we don't observe things through the mind of the helmet of salvation, which Paul describes as in Romans, he says very clearly what that is. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So are we familiar with the gospel? Are we familiar with the message? And really, what does Christian service look like to us? What does it involve? How active am I in my service to my Lord? Because Paul describes it as the power of God unto salvation. This is his message that he has brought out. And if we really look at salvation, we can read the entire epistle of Romans to really understand what Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God into describing what salvation is. But Paul tells us here that our battles are not against the flesh. Of course, every one of us battles the flesh, but our struggles are not with one another. Yes, Satan will influence other men to persecute us, to make fun of us, to do many, many things that are not what we want done to us. But those all come from what he describes here as principalities of powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are men who give in to this, because Satan is and his demons who are tireless. You think about, you know, what does our day consist of? We get up in the morning, we prepare for the day, we start to do things. The demons are never tired. They work nonstop all the time, day in, day out, whatever. It's a nonstop work to deceive. And the reason they want to deceive humans, us, is because they hate us. And they hate us because they themselves have fallen. And it tells us that even the angels themselves desire to look into what Christ had done for us who were created lower than the angels. And he tells us here, how do we wrestle then against this these principalities? And he says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on, that is something that you and I have to do. It's not thrown on us. It's given to us. And we make a choice. Are we going to put on the whole armor of God? Can I leave off the helmet of salvation? Can I leave off the breastplate of righteousness? Can I leave off the shield of faith? Can I leave off the preparation of the gospel? What can I leave off and say, I'm good? This is enough. I don't need to follow through with everything. Because whatever it is that we are not wanting to put on, we are arguing against our God and saying, I don't need this. I'm good enough. Well, you're good enough according to what? According to the deceit that Satan will deceive us with. Because you got to keep in mind that the Eve fell because of deceit. She was deceived. Satan made her believe that God is withholding something good from her. That God is a jealous God. He doesn't want her to have those things that she desires. And he made God even out to be a liar. He told her, surely you will not die. You won't. The father of lies is calling God a liar. He said, you're not going to die. And so she is deceived. Why? It was because of her own desire. Satan had made those inroads into her heart and into her life, into her whole being. And then that was made manifest, what was in her heart, when she reached for that fruit and took of it and took and ate of it. What was in her heart is the action that she had actually performed. She lost her faith in her Creator. He was not good to her. That's how she was deceived. And she believed that it was good to eat of that fruit. Adam comes along, and instead of looking that God, he looks at his wife and thinking, how can now God work out her salvation? He plummets right into sin behind her. He just flat out disobeyed God. And he took and he ate. And that is what separated man from God. Sin always has, and it always will. God cannot change to begin to say, yes, I'm holy, but I can handle sin. He's not God then. He can't. And so we see that the first sin committed was the sin of, and we can go through it. It's all because she didn't put on that armor. She believed a lie. And dear ones, we can, you know, because it speaks here of so many things, it's going to be difficult to even go through each one individually. And the point really is not, because we can do that in our own homes. I hope and pray we spend the time at home to reread these beautiful verses that talk about the whole armor of God. You know, if there's a danger for you and for me, and we are told, put this armor on, it will protect you. There is no chance that you will perish with this armor. Who's going to say, well, I don't need that? We're going to put it on. When danger is there, we will flee to safety. In some manner, we will run to safety of some kind when something is coming. If it's a storm, we're going to run into a storm shelter. We're going to, whatever, when it's there, we're going to do what we can to save us. Well, God is telling us, put on the whole armor. And you know, when it tells us here to take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and all the various things, we think of the helmet of salvation, protecting the mind. Think about what our minds do. And we have to process everything through the helmet of salvation, through the salvation story that we read in the entire epistle of to the Romans. So if I want to pick up a book, if I want to turn on a television, if I want to put in a, well, not even put in a DVD, I'm going to stream something, if I want to do something like that, I have to think about it. Is this going to create holiness in my life? Is this going to let my guard down? Am I going to enjoy the things of the flesh that God told me, do not partake of this. Don't take your pleasures in the things that I'm telling you is sin. Eve thought she could handle that fruit. She thought she could handle it. You and I oftentimes discard the helmet of salvation, the mind which is to be renewed and to be protected. We oftentimes will set it aside as if we process things through the mind, through our own mind, and rather through the salvation that is being offered, and we think we can handle things. And our consciences get deadened, and we begin to roam, and we begin to sin, and we say, oh, God is okay with that. God doesn't expect perfection from me. What God wants from us, brothers and sisters and dear friends, is a heart that loves Him. And he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, which is there when he speaks about protecting the heart. It's his righteousness that we have to protect our heart with. And are we going to feel that we can withstand what Satan is doing to us, what he did to Adam and Eve, or Eve and then Adam, is what he also tried against Jesus himself in the wilderness. He tried the same method that worked in Adam and Eve, and he tried it on our Lord, and he was unsuccessful. And dear ones, he's going to do the same thing. He has. But are we going to say, well, Adam fell. Yeah, Adam fell, and look what happened. But Jesus is telling us through the Apostle Paul, put on the armor, the whole armor, so that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, so you don't fall. So he's giving us a picture here of a man who is standing against the wiles of the devil, the one who is tirelessly out to get us. Tireless. He's never going to get tired. He's just going to keep coming after us. He's going to try everything. And dear ones, we're simply told, take on the whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are you afraid that you will fall? Am I afraid that I will fall? Yes. Yes, I am. I have been afraid. And there are times when my faith is really strong, and I feel the closeness of my Lord. And there are times when I feel I have strayed from him. And his word is calling us to repentance. God always tells us, come back to me. Come near to me. In him is refuge. Where does it say in the Psalms? In the Psalms it says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. If I put my trust in myself, how am I going to be preserved? If my refuge is myself, I'm going to run out of self. But when in thee do I put my trust, in the Lord, preserve me. What does the Lord tell Israel? So often, as a hen gathers her little chicks, when they sense danger, they go flying to her, and she puts her wings out and gathers them together, protected from all the danger. They're oblivious to any danger now. Why? They're under her protecting wing. And Jesus says, how often do I want to gather you and you would not? Why? You think you're good. You think you're strong. You think you can withstand. You think you don't need the helmet of salvation. You think you don't need the breastplate of righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and so on. You don't feel you need that. And so you won't gather with safety. But David is saying here, I put my trust in thee. And so, dear ones, when our trust is in our Lord, when we realize we of ourselves have no strength, why do we need to put on the whole armor of God? Because you and I are no match for Satan. He's not afraid of us. What's the hymn writer say? I can't quote it. I'm not good at quoting hymns, but it says when a Christian is in prayer on his knees, that Satan flees. It's a saying or it's a hymn. I can't remember. But regardless, when we are in prayer, if we are put, because a prayer is approaching God in his throne, that means I am putting my trust in him. Satan flees. James makes that clear. When we are in submission to our Lord, that is our resistance to the devil. Go try to resist the devil. I have. And I know every one of us has said, how many times do we hear a testimony? Everyone, I believe, has said, I tried and I failed. I tried to resist the devil. I thought if I did this, it would work. No, submit to God. Give yourself to him. Fall before him. When you're fallen before him, Satan is facing God himself, and he will. That is our resistance. Our resistance is falling before our Lord. And Satan sees now who he is up against, and he flees. He's not afraid of you and I. He's not afraid of you and me. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God. He says, Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And we heard the warning this morning about false teaching and preaching and falsehoods that will arise. And it says, have your loins girt about with truth. You know, truth stood in front of Pilate, and Pilate says, what is truth? We have truth before us here. Are we still asking the same question? Could you imagine standing in front of Jesus and asking him, what is truth? Truth itself, the very truth itself is in front of him, and he doesn't recognize it. He asks, what is truth? Brothers and sisters, the word, the complete word of God is given unto us. Are we also saying, well, what is truth? We know the world is asking, what is truth anymore? Why? Because you don't hear truth. You don't even hear truth in everyday life. It's all just lies. Everything is lies that is given. That's the world that Satan is in charge of. That's the one that he broods over this world. He's the prince of the air, and that's all you will find from him. Lies, deceit. He wants to fool you, my dear friend. He wants to convince you that there is something good in this world for you. Pursue those things. You can do this later. Pursue this today. And you're deceived. And sometimes you may even say, I believe everything that is said. I believe everything, but I want to see what's out there. So you completely disobey. Adam, Eve, deceived, disobeyed, results, sin, separation from God, period. You can go about it any way you want. Disobedience, deceitfulness brings disobedience. It's all the same result. Separation from your God, your creator, hell and its fire, eternity without your Lord, your creator, the one who loves you. And he says, above all, take on the shield of faith. Well, first, he says, take your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Dear ones, we see how God is calling us to be ready to speak. It doesn't matter if you run into someone who knows book, chapter, verse throughout the Bible, can quote you Old and New Testament, and he may not have any faith. That doesn't matter. What you need to be ready to speak of is the hope that is in you. And what hope do we have? Jesus Christ came. He loved me so much. He died for me. He gave his life for me. His blood washes away my sin. Has made me as clean as snow, he says. In him I have life. His is a life of purity, a life of service, a life of love. Dear ones, when we speak of having a mind of Christ, right? We're told to put on the helmet of salvation. We're told to have the mind of Christ. That's quite a mind, right? The mind of Christ. And he tells us to be holy as I am holy. How? Do we just say, I can't? No, you can't, and no, I can't. But he also tells us, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul. Now, God just gave us a way to have his mind. He gave us a way to be holy as he is holy. How? To love. To love the Lord thy God. And when we love him, dear ones, my dear friends, you cannot be perfect, but you can love the Lord. And when you love him, when you love him with all your mind, heart, and soul, there's nothing you can't do. Because God is love. And when you love, you become like God. Holy. You become pure. You become clean. When you love him. And when you realize that you have fallen. Why? Because you have, in your own humanism, you've taken on your thought process and you failed. It's not the end. Don't beat yourself up that it's the end. The end is when you look at that and make an excuse for it and you don't want to repent. That's the end. But when you come back to the Lord, who is so gracious and loving and merciful, and cleanse your ways, you repent, You're sorry for what you have done. Why? Because you've saddened your Lord who died for you. Dear ones, there's so much power. Paul says that we live on this side of the cross, where all the power is. It's the cross. It's where we die. And it's where we're given the new nature. And Apostle Peter talks about our human nature. We have our human nature, right? But Apostle Peter, I think it's Paul, Apostle Peter says that we are given a divine nature. That's God. God is divine. And we are given his nature. Now, what are we going to do when I hear what Peter says? Am I going to dismiss it? Not needed? Well, I've decided to cast some part of this armor aside if I do that. There's something that doesn't sit well with me, and I've put it aside. I chose not to put it on, and I've exposed myself. Faith, dear ones, faith, he talks about it, is the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Satan has enormous amounts of fiery darts to inflame your passions, my passions. He knows what yours are. Yours might be, the brother prayed much about pride. I might have a proud heart. I might just feel good about something. Look at me. Look at what I've done. I feel good. That's pride. Satan knows that. He's gonna cast those fiery darts at me to inflame that in me. Some it will be wealth, the love of money. Some will be lustful, fleshly desires. The arrows are coming. And he's not going to send one. It's coming, a barrage, nonstop. You let down the shield, what's happening? You can have on everything else. And this is where the false religions comes in. Satan is happy. He's deceived you. You let your faith down. That impenetrable shield of faith that nothing can penetrate, nothing can get through, you let it down. Why? You focused on something else. Yourself, your power, your wisdom, your might. And you let down the faith. You don't believe. It's what Eve did. She didn't believe everything that God said. Not even necessarily that it was something crazy wrong and just a little, well, yeah. I guess he didn't really say that. She put the word aside, his word, his spoken word. She put it aside. You have to put something aside when you sin. Something has to be put aside. You can't sin and have the whole armor of God on. You can't. Because he says you will stand if you put it on. And so in my life, don't we look at our whole life every day? Do we look back on our life and think back that day? I mean, not the light, not you can't, but think back that day when you go to bed, when you're in a quiet moment, just think back on your day. What did I appear like to this soul, to this one? How did I react? What was my voice like? What did I say? How could it have been misconstrued? I need to do better. Lord, forgive me. Help me. Correct those things and improve. And so we see what sin does. It separates us from our God. And the second sin that is recorded separated man from man. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to create divisions with us, because divisions amongst us is a division against God. Because sin separates man from man also. If you truly, yes, the apostles had no sin that was separating them from the rulers, from the kings of this world and so on. They hated them because of the truth that was being preached by them. It touched them. They didn't like to hear the things that were being said, just like the Pharisees didn't like to hear what Jesus had to say. But dear ones, when there's divisions amongst us, the Bible tells us where there is strife, this is amazing. Wherever there is strife, there is every evil work. You know, I look at a lot of things that are going on in the world today. that are just utterly evil. I mean, it's so evil, the things, and what does Satan want to do? He wants to destroy the family. First he destroys me. When he destroys me, my faith, I will destroy the family. The family then destroys society. Lack of family is lack of society itself. And Satan is loving it. And that's exactly what he's done. He's worked on that for decades. And he's made inroads, and he's constantly making inroads. Why? Because man is pursuing something that he won't find here. And he's constantly pursuing it, constantly going after it, destroying himself, destroying his family, destroying society as a whole. That's Satan. That's who we will listen to. And we reason and we say, well, you know, I understand, you know, hey, everybody is themselves. No, that's not what God says. God says we are his. He created us to do his will. I choose to do mine, I'm apart from God. And so, dear ones, he tells us the sword of the Spirit, as we know, heard it often said, it's the only offensive weapon that is given here, his word. It's not beating someone into submission. It's not, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to show you. No, it says, the word of God. Speak the truth. It's the only thing that can change my heart. It's the only thing. You can beat me into submission, or you could do it, but what's going to change my heart is his word. Take the sword of the Spirit. Jesus demonstrated that in the wilderness with Satan. He used the word. He used the word. This is what God said. He's doing the same thing. Well, isn't, you know, you can do that. He says, no. The word says that God said this. Do I know what God said? Do I even know it? How can I quote it if I don't even spend the time to read it? Do I ever look into the word? Do I read it? Do we read it? Do we discuss it with our brothers and sisters at home, with our parents, with our parents, with anyone, friends in church and so on? Do we discuss his word and the power and magnificence of it? And he says, watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Pray for, when I pray for you, I can't talk about you. Can't. If I'm sincere in my prayer for you, I'm not going to gossip about you. But if you're gossiping about me and I'm gossiping about you, be assured that our prayers are not there for one another. They cannot be. When we pray in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All saints. I can't pick one and not another. You're all my brethren. We're all brothers and sisters together. We should never be against one another. Every evil work is there. As I mentioned, there's some evil stuff going on. And it says, divisions amongst you is evil work. So we say, well, will God wink at that? Will he say, well, that's not that important? You know, God knows we just had divisions. I don't want to hear the call, come to judgment, knowing that I've separated myself from you, that I've created a division, that I don't like you, that I gossip about you, and I have no need of you. I don't want to face the judgment with that. And so he says, supplication for all saints. He says, and for me, he says, pray for me. Think about the Apostle Paul who's so endowed with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God in the power in which he is working. He says, pray for me. He never considered himself as having already attained or having done all. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, so that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Is there any mystery that I can show anyone who is lost? Do I even know that mystery? Do I know the gospel Or can my feet be shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace if it's sitting in my closet? And so it says, the gospel, I'm an ambassador in bonds. So he is right now in chains. He's in bonds. He's in prison. He sees all the armor around him. He sees all the soldiers there with all of their armor. And he takes, and it's a brilliant moment that God gives him to say, see this armor of all the soldiers around you? Use that as an example of the armor of God that you can put on to withstand everything. He says, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I can't let it down. I can't let my guard down. I can't allow this prison to change me, to make me into less faithful, to say anything against my God. Whatever is taking place is his will. My faith is in him. He will give me endurance. He will give me the strength. And he closes with such a beautiful verses. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In sincerity. There's grace to those who love the Lord. And again, we go back to what does the Lord say? Love the Lord thy God. It's the only way to perfection. Yes, perfection. A mind of Christ is perfect. To be holy like God is to be perfect. But to love is perfection. Love recognizes everything. Love never tires. Love will never be spent. Love will never give up. Love will continue to do and give of self. Self is put aside when love reigns and rules on the throne of my heart. That means God is there because God is love. And with that, dear ones, I put on the whole armor of God. I'm happy to put on the whole armor of God so that God would see to it that I stay faithful unto him. So may God bless his word, dear ones, upon our hearts in this morning's message, this afternoon, that all of us would truly give thought to the words that we have heard, the warnings of Christ that he has given, and the way in which we can remain faithful unto him. Amen.
There are so many aspects to the armor of God, and so many things can be spoken about. But verse number 18, speaking of prayer, touched me this afternoon, where the verse says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. This morning we read of Jesus where he said, watch and pray always. And here again this afternoon we're being encouraged, praying always. Praying for one another. Praying for the perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're on a pilgrimage together to our heavenly home. We want to encourage one another, and we want to be there for each other and pray for one another. And that is a rich blessing that we have as we go through this life together. We have a common enemy, and he is shooting those 1,000 arrows all round about us. But with a shield of faith, we can deflect that, and we can encourage each other to keep that shield of faith. Keep it up. Keep believing in the Lord. Keep trusting in him. As we were touched by the prayer that was shared even now, how in sincerity there's just that those expressions of we need the Lord, without him we can do nothing, and that we would all just be built up together. So may the grace be with all them that love the Lord Jesus in all sincerity. Amen.